Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you leave me alone. Cool down. Let's get this cracking. Real to real. Yeah.
Don't leave me alone.
Gotta leave you at home, shorty. Yeah. Yo, kill bees on the spoon. You already know what it is, man. We got to clear this hallway out. Everybody thinking they can get their hustle on up in here. Knowing we got the bigger joint. You know what I'm saying, Lord? Steve, yo, hit the kid up, man. Let him know we on our way. Word up. Let's do this. Come on, son. Hey, yo. Hey, yo. Hey, yo, I'm hot off the press like a brand new four-fifth. I roll with the force and I shoot the guests. A lot of MCs know me because of my dark place. My name rings bells like Harry Belafonte. My team's still gutter, but I left the store. So I can chill at the crib, chopping up the raw. Can't wait to get back so I can do my pillage. AP be in the back like yo, Don Killer. Killing mad dirty water like an African village. Yo, I hustle 160, but be at 220. And yo, punk ass niggas, some of y'all act too funny. You see me on the grind, salute the king.
Yeah.
before the Ark of the Covenant. They couldn't break my soul, so I walk with the faith of Job. On roads that is paved in gold, each verse is a sacred scroll. Now my life is a legacy told. Death to the flesh, arms laid neck. My body is a temple, staying heavenly blessed. Prophecy news, equipped with the tools. From my heart, I'm giving you jewels. Versus the Hill Street Blues, in my darkest hour. My power shall rain like a meteor shower to see the face of Yahweh. Until a demon scour, in these final hours, we seek redemption before Armageddon's devour. We fear Y2K, some run away from Judgment Day, but Lord, as a maid, put my soul on display. Let me be that light, let me show them the way.
The money, the clothes, the cribs, the cars.
Never gotta stop, God, you know who we are.
I ain't a fraud, everything I do is from the heart.
So let me be that spark that lights the dark.
The money, the clothes, the cribs, the cars.
Never gotta stop, God, you know who we are.
I ain't a fraud, everything I do is from the heart.
So let me be that spark that lights the dark. We living in perilous times. Government, microchip controlling the mind. I'm diverging, ain't nobody stealing my shine. I am the chosen, ain't no mountain I can't climb. See, I won't let them hold me. They can't school me or turn me from the old me. Look, I walk with no fear. My eyes never shed a tear, we almost there. We found glory, another end of story. I represent the ones that came before me. Never selling a dream, never selling my soul. I live by any means necessary. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord, save the race from disgrace. We headed for self-destruction before your creation turns to nothing.
Money, the clothes, the cribs, the cars.
Never gotta stop, God, you know who we are.
I ain't a fraud, everything I do is from the heart.
So let me be that spark that lights the dark.
The money, the clothes, the cribs, the cars.
Never gotta stop, God, you know who we are.
I ain't a fraud, everything I do is from the heart.
So let me be that spark that lights the dark.
I was trying to make moves with a lot of weight on my back. I'd be a billionaire if that weight turned to crack. I had issues, I ain't wanna deal with that. So I got high to get away. When I came down, I had to face.
Peace, 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 and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of the Truth Hour. 100% Real Spill, hosted by none other than my brother Truth. That phone number to call in is 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. And press 1 with your questions or your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce the summer and present to others the host and founder of the Truth Hour, none other than that true soldier, my brother Truth.
Peace and Power family, welcome to another episode of the Truth Hour. Appreciate everybody who called in. I know we've been having some technical difficulties. My mans was traveling from out of town, you know what I mean? So, but we here, we got the show going. Everybody who calling in, listening, I appreciate y'all. Today's episode will be about Black unity. You know, is it possible? You know, what does it take to make it possible? And, you know, why does it seem so difficult to make happen on a, you know, a big scale or a mass scale of things as far as us as a people coming together to unite, to move as with one united goal, you know what I'm saying? So that's what we're going to be kicking in with on the show today. Appreciate the brother, you know what I'm saying, Knowledge, my bro. Once again, it's an honor to be here with y'all, man. I appreciate it. And peace and love to everybody listening, man. Thanks a lot for calling in.
So how you want to kick it off, Jake?
Man, no, basically how we always kick it off, man. The topic of the show is unity, and can we possibly, you know, as a original Black Moor, whatever name that you use, you know what I mean? Because I'm being more aware of the words and terms I use because I understand the definition and the way that, you know, Europeans use the language to trick us, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
Us as a people, you know, just strictly as a people, color, Black, whatever term that you use for, you know, lack of better terms at the present time, It's just, you know, what is it going to take for us to have some form of unity in a, you know, it doesn't have to be a super mass movement, but just some form of unity where we have a vision and a direction, and we're moving towards that vision and direction, you know, uncompromisingly as a unit, you know, not just one individual here or two or three individuals over here, but, you know, as a whole, moving in one direction, because we already know all the problems. We can sit here and talk about all the problems that we go through as a people in this country from top to bottom. We know damn near everything, every way they're attacking us, you know what I'm saying, every way that they are, you know, using their tactics to keep us at the level that we're at. So when are we going to start, and what is it going to take for us to start building and doing for us by us? You know what I mean? That's what I wanted to touch on the show. So, you know, we can just go back and forth, you know, let the callers come in, you know, you give your opinion. And I would like to start with your opinion, because I do want to know, because it's been a difficult, I want to say it's not real difficult, because I can get small individual people, but just on a overall, you know, big, you know, large scale, to get people to see and understand that we need to move together to make it better for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't get that. So what's your opinion on how we can start to do that?
Well, we just had an event in Dallas, in Houston. And, you know, the theme of it was, you know, RPG Explosion. So we were dealing with, you know, the space and place of unity. And I was looking at the identity crisis as a root cause for disunity. Just like you said, even with the terminology we use to identify ourselves with, just the fact that we have more than one word, you know what I mean? Not more than one expression. You know, we sort of fighting over what we call ourselves, you know, shows a root cause for disunity in regards to the identity crisis. You see what I'm saying? So whether we look at these other nations, and I'm not one of comparison, so I'm not one to say, you know, you see all these other nations doing these things and we need to do, you don't do that. You know, that's shaming. You see what I'm saying? One thing that you don't do to African children, if you have two African children, is compare them to one another. You know, they have roles and responsibilities and greatness and gifts, and, you know, that they're here, you know, here to bring us, you know, and in regards to their contributions to the full progress of us as a nation of people or as a race. You see what I'm saying? So you compare one child to the next child, you just started another war. So, you know, you further get into these lines in regards to unity, especially about behavior and contributions. You see what I'm saying? What somebody does and what they produce. You see what I'm saying? So when you start to look at that, I started to look at it with two movies. It was two movies that really struck out to me that kind of explains it. You know, one is Unbreakable with Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis, and the other movie is Antoine Fisher. Like, I know you heard me reference that movie a couple of times, but they both kind of speak to our experience in regards to the identity crisis that we had. You see what I'm saying? In the movie Unbreakable with Sam Jackson and Bruce Willis, Sam Jackson makes Bruce Willis a hero, and in turn, with him making him a hero, he made himself a villain. You understand what I'm saying? So you got Bruce Willis in the movie. He ain't never been sick. He never broke a bone. So he's standing up, representing the system of racism or white supremacy. You see what I'm saying? And you got Sam Jackson, who was born in Philly. Right, it's supposed to be the city of brotherly love and, you know, unity and liberty. But he was born in 1961, as the movie was saying, with both arms and legs broken. You see what I'm saying? So look at our people. Mm-hmm. You know, look at our people, like, shattered like gas, you know, like glass, and, you know, scattered into pieces. So we scattered before the four winds of heaven when we look at that. But we're born already into this system broken. You understand what I'm saying? So it's representative of how we see, you know, each other already as broken, you know, broken or shattered easily like glass. You see what I'm saying? Like, he lived his whole life in fear because he was born broken. You see what I'm saying? So the only resource that he had to have a life within it his existence. The only thing that gave him courage was comic books. So, you know, he amassed a whole bunch of wealth and things like that. But the only thing that he really wanted was to know who he was. He said if it was somebody that was born like him, you know, basically born like us, born broken, then there was somebody that couldn't be hurt, that couldn't be penetrated. You see what I'm saying? And that's who Bruce Willis represented, but it was unbeknownst to him. So this black man had to show him who he was. You see what I'm saying? He had to show him who he was, and he gave him his identity. And with him finding his identity, he helped him find his identity. He found his own identity. So at the end, he had to be a supervillain. So, you know, there were some things that had to take place and happen, you know, that was brought into existence. But when we start to look at our condition, there's nobody that would be, you know, the role of the hero or the hero or the supervillain in our cause other than our own self. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So when we start to look at that, and we look at that in the identity crisis, and we switch it over to Antoine Fisher, what I found in the Antoine Fisher movie is it describes our existence under this wicked rule to a T. You know, it describes us as foster children under foster rule. You understand what I'm saying? So we've got two identity crises. We got a black woman, man, woman, and child that is born into a system broken without their parents. You see what I'm saying? So if we go back to slavery, we start talking about buck breaking and all these things that was used as mind control to be able to breed a broken people. Then you see this experience right here in Unbreakable. You see what I'm saying? They broke the Unbreakable.
Mm-hmm.
So who is the Unbreakable? You see what I'm saying? We are the Unbreakable, but they got us looking like supervillains and broken people. You understand what I'm saying? So when you buy into that experience, you know, you got this whole thing. You got this whole thing going on with this identity crisis. And then you got this wicked foster rule that profits and benefits from us being broken and us being at war with one another in regards to this whole situation where you got this caretaker, you know, or Antoine Fisher, you know, who abused them, who molested them, and all of these things. This is the system, and this is how the system affects us. So we're expecting broken, molested, and destroyed people to come together and unify. You understand what I'm saying? So
right.
Psychological ills and maladies have to be addressed before any healing and reconciliation could take place. So just like in both of the movies, there was defining moments in the movie, you know, where you might be looking at the movie and you'd be cheering for Bruce Willis because he found himself. But what about you at the end of the movie? You know, what about you? What about your story? You see what I'm saying? Where's your story and where do you fit into all of this? Just like there was a defining moment in Antoine Fisher when he went back to Miss Tate. He said, you tried to destroy me. No matter what you did, I'm still here. I'm still strong. So he was unbreakable. So you see that tie, because that tie represents us, that resilience, regardless of anything that the system tried to pull on us, we still remain resilient and strong, and we still continue to unify. We're making action steps, you know, action steps towards unification regardless to whom or what. So whether it's circumstance or it's happenstance or it's just natural movement towards this, you know, these things are happening. We just have to see them. You see what I'm saying? We have to recognize them, and we have to place value within them, you know. You know, you've been to Chicago, you've been to Texas, you've been, you know, to these places where you've seen it live. You've seen it happen live. You've seen when these people come together, when our people come together in the right spirit, it ain't nothing but love. You see what I'm saying? So we have to have more examples of this growth through exposure process, you know, that we're seeing. You see what I'm saying? Whether they be on the internet or not. If they're not on the internet, then we need to push it. We need to promote it. We need to have a new program. You see what I'm saying? We got brothers and sisters. I was on All Real Radio, and it was like, well, you know, we got these keyboard karate people that they don't do nothing but, you know, post stuff on the internet. I said, give those people a job. Give them a job. You see what I'm saying? Hey, we all need stuff that's promoted. Give them, you know, that respect or that initiative to say, hey, you know, post this, post this, post this. If they can post all day long, you can send them stuff all day long and let them post it all day long. See what I'm saying? So in that reformation process, now they go from somebody who was an enemy to an ally. You see what I'm saying? We need propagandists. We need African liberation propagandists, people that are out here propagating proper propaganda in regards to our unity, in regards to our rise, in regards to our cause. You see what I'm saying? So we don't have to be susceptible to, you know, this other type of, you know, stuff that we got going on. So we could go from the broken to the unbreakable. That's a transformation process. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if we go from the broken to the unbreakable, then now we're dealing with organic solidarity. You see what I'm saying? Now we have the power to define. Now we have the power to defend. You see what I'm saying? All of these things. But as long as we're doing those fragments, we're being Mr. Glass with these little pieces. You see what I'm saying? It's not going to affect the whole. It's going to happen, but it's not going to affect the whole. You see what I'm saying? And we got to look outside of the demographic that we're operating in regards to this being a global movement of African people. You see what I'm saying? Towards liberation. So we can't win no war without no allies. You see what I'm saying? So we need brothers and sisters on the continent and wherever African people are, we're all over the planet. You see what I'm saying? So it begins with that. So we need to look without and look within. You see what I'm saying? Simultaneously to make that happen. And I think that this principle of unity can be achieved if, you know, these values, this reconciliation, this counseling, all these things, you know, being achieved, you know, a combination of these things, so then we could begin to walk together. You see what I'm saying? And the second part is, I said growth through exposure, but also growth through experience. If we have a military formation that's supposed to be in the defense of our people, and they had not had no training or no battle or no situations that would bind them together, we don't have an army. There's nothing, you know, that binds us together. You see what I'm saying? Like the source of unity is you and I. You see what I'm saying? So if you and I have not had an experience together that will bind us together, then we don't have an experience. You know, we just around each other. You see what I'm saying? So you roll with somebody, just like one of your partners from around the way, and y'all got into a fight together and y'all fought to the end, whether y'all win, lose, or draw, you know what he made of. You know what you made of. See what I'm saying? So there's no question about, you know, what's going to happen. So how many of these, you know, organizations that we have that have membership in them been through something like that together? See what I'm saying? So if they haven't gone against our enemies, they're not forged in blood. It's just talk. You see what I'm saying? It's just talk. So, you know, if they ain't went through nothing, we have to have some kind of experience. I call it like a black liberation or Black Power Hell Week or something like that. You know, when you get these Africans together and they done been through something for like a week long, total control type of situation, ain't nobody that's going to be able to mess with those people that's responsible for the defense of our families. You see what I'm saying? Like, Tahir gave an example. They got the Akamalu Fest coming up and they get, you know, a couple hundred Africans or whatever, they come out. And at the end of the ceremony, it's like these Africans, and they got to take down this 1,500-pound bull with no weapons. See what I'm saying? What if we had a crop of black men and women that, you know, participated in something like that together? You know, so you thinking, you know, brothers and sisters would be dying with their hands up? If they're charged a 1,500-pound bull, what is a police? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But if you're not putting that on the mind, it's the mind. The mind is what ties you to the organization. Like you could go to any of these religious institutions. They have the minds of our people. You see what I'm saying? So
right.
There's nothing you can tell them about that organization. And also they have an experience. They got the mind, and it goes with the experience. It begins in the mind, and then it's coupled by physical experience. And don't let them have no change in their life. Come on, please. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But now we couple that with, you know, this whole movement in regards to how we move. And we move together like that, please, man. We're charging that bull. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about, you know, these social ills and these injustices, I'm telling you. You don't think one of these brothers or these sisters will run up on one of these, you know, fiduciary officers and end them? It ain't a 1,500-pound bull, and that gun ain't going to stop them. You see what I'm saying? Unarmed. So look at the dynamics that would change the whole situation. Who's been getting killed and who's been getting slaughtered in the streets? Unarmed. You see what I'm saying? So imagine if they had that kind of courage in their heart. Please, man. Please. So it's just a frame of reference in regards to how we see ourselves, you know, what our missions, aims, and goals are, and what we done went through in order to get there. You see what I'm saying? Because we've always been in a situation where we didn't have the upper hand, but we continue to fight. You know, because our liberation was more important than anything else. So now we're at the stage in the same place. You know, we have these defining moments again. So, you know, are we going to, you know, go against the system, or are we going to allow the system to continue to devour us? You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
And they just get younger and younger.
Man. And you touched on, you know, like what you said is just right on point, because, like you say, people don't recognize the power that we really have. You know what I'm saying? Like whenever I talk about, you know, just in my own inner circle around people I associate with, whenever you speak of revolution, they always, or, you know, us uniting, or, you know, that way, they always say, oh, well, we can't do this because they got more guns than us and da-da-da-da-da, this and that. You know what I'm saying? But when you really look at it, when are we not going to be outgunned from this point? You know what I'm saying? When are we not going to be under the gun, or they got cameras here, they got this and this and that and everywhere? You know what I mean? The fear is more mental than physical. You know what I'm saying? So people don't see the power of, you know, a united front, because they don't see many united fronts that are really actually out here doing something, moving, got something sustainable here that you can come be a part of and help to grow. You know, that's the main thing that I focus on, is building things that regular everyday people, no matter what their creed, you know what I'm saying, religion, beliefs, ideologies, or anything, as long as you identify as a person of color in this country, or, you know, an oppressed person, you know what I mean, in this country, you should be moving with like-minded people and understand and recognize that the system as a whole is against all of us together, not just individually. Oh, they targeting black men, but they not targeting black women, or they not targeting black. They targeting all of us. You know what I mean? We're all under the gun. We're all in their scope. You know what I'm saying? They just picking us off one by one. Pew, pew. But see, my main thing is teaching people is that they don't want you to completely die off, because it wouldn't be nothing to just poison the water, you know, had a regular rich people or the important people give them information, don't drink this, don't do this, and you can easily kill millions and millions and millions of people without a problem, or and without knowing where it came from, none of that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that's not the goal. The actual goal is to keep us at a certain level, because then, therefore, if we stay at this certain level, they're able to stay alive. They're able to live and not be drowned out by the color of our skin, the pigment, the our thought. You know, if you equal the playing field, it's not going to even be close. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, you know, that's my main thing when I'm out here, just telling the people to recognize the power that you have within your individual self, and recognize that in all actuality, there is no individual self. It's all a collective, because what you should do should be better, should be the best thing for us as a whole. You know what I'm saying? I can move as an individual truth, and I could do certain things, and I can get my money right, and I could be straight. But if my neighborhood that I grew up in look like shit, or my auntie, my sisters, or any of them is going through poverty, going through hard times, I'm not above my condition. So that means I have not made it to the point where I can say that I'm comfortable, or I'm free, or I have some type of progress, because until I'm able to pull up people under me, or pull up and unite people that's just like me, who are in the same situation, who are going through the climb that I'm going through, you know, once we start pulling each other up is when the true power will show. Because you have small, you know, you have different examples of it. You had a Nation of Islam, you had a 5%ers, you have these small sects of groups. But then overall, people looking at the groups like, well, they not really doing nothing. They want me to join. If I don't join, I can't be a part of this, or I don't benefit from this. And they looking at it, and it's like, we find so much to bicker about, we need to find one banner to fly under. And that's not really suggesting maybe like no religious ideologies or anything. I think all that needs to be set to the side for the one common goal of freedom. You know what I'm saying? Because we all should recognize that in some form or manner you are being oppressed, whether you're not getting the equal education as someone, job opportunity, able to feed yourself at the same with the same kind of food as someone else, you know, the water, anything. You can find anything in your life and say that you're being oppressed in that situation. You know what I'm saying? Just like women, you know, can point to being raped and molested. You know what I'm saying? That's a form of oppression. You know what I'm saying? Just like black men can say the police harasses and prison and mass incarceration. Those are forms of oppression. So we need to be free from all of those things, from the most minute on the scale to the most major on the scale. We have to combat that. But to combat it, if it's just truth over here, okay, I'm going at the mass incarceration, I got maybe 50 people with me, then you got knowledge over here in Cali, you know what I'm saying, on the West Coast, and you got your people over here, then we got the people down in Texas, you know, just moving as individual pockets, but we're not collectively moving as one. You know what I'm saying? So we need to collectively move as one towards a common goal. To me, that's how we achieve unity. That's how we achieve the power that we need, because if they know that, okay, I could kill Malcolm X and then the whole movement is through, or I could kill Martin Luther King or all the people that they killed or all the people that they locked up, and then it's kind of like studied the movement. But if you notice with them, no matter what goes on, you know, not, you know, they keep it moving toward their goal because they have a common goal. And I think we as a people need to recognize, in my opinion, freedom needs to be the you know, the unified banner that we move under, because no matter what race, religion, whatever ideology you lead, you use, you can find somewhere where you're not totally free in a situation, or you're being oppressed in a situation, and you can identify with that, and you can move towards the goal or move towards the end of being totally free. You know what I mean? And that's what, in my opinion, that's what we need to do to actually really unite, is form a general idea or a, you know, a banner that we can all fall under. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that if you say freedom, or you say, you know, fight against oppression, I believe that all people of color, black, Moor, whatever name that you want to go by, fall under that banner, because we're all being oppressed. We're all, you know, even non-colored people are being oppressed. You know what I'm saying? They can even identify with that. So it becomes a universal banner, and then, therefore, you start to combat the things that are restricting you from those freedoms and are oppressing you, and you start to combat and you start to build your own things to combat that, you know what I'm saying? With the, and to build those things, you have to have unity. You have to have unity to build a school that's teaching your children real history or real our real story instead of his story. You know what I'm saying? You have to have unity to do that, because, of course, the system is going to attack you because you're actually, and, you know, it might not look like it to most people, but in all actuality, you attacking the system. You know, when you go and, you know, do these protests and you stop these, you know, block off streets and restrict people from getting, you are attacking the system's regular function of every day, how it functions every day. You know what I'm saying? You get to attacking these things, it's natural reaction is to attack back for most people. You know what I'm saying? Or most things. You know what I'm saying? Some things are, you know, cower or cover up, but most, you know, you back something into a corner or you start poking somebody and attacking them, they're going to start attacking you back. So we have to understand that when they attack back, it's not the time. Is the time to when we really need to stand united. You know what I'm saying? Is when they take one of ours or they kidnap one of ours, we need to stand united and keep and prevent that from happening as much as we possibly can. And if we are united on a, you know, together, and we stop letting outside people dictate how we view each other and view, you know, what freedom or what oppression actually is, and just reckon, and, you know, and just really look in the mirror and just open our eyes and see exactly where we stand as a people, you know, what real power do we have, what control over you know, our food, what control over our education, what control over our housing do we actually have? With, you know what I mean? And how do we attain that power? And to me, the only way to attain that power is unifying and moving in a direction as a collective. You know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily have to fall under the many categories that we know, but to me, freedom would be the best category or the best universal banner for all people of the world that are oppressed to move towards and, you know, fight for our freedom and the end of this oppression. You know what I mean? And just like you touched on, we battered and bruised. So, you know, I know it's definitely easier said than done, but I know that it can be done because we do it on small levels. It's just that recognizing that, okay, if I know some people down in Texas doing the same thing I'm doing, then I need to be connected with them. I don't need to be worried about, oh, if they doing this or they doing that. They trying to get free, I'm trying to get free. Let's work together. We'll worry about all the snakes and the rats and the agents and all that stuff. If we united in a way, you know what I'm saying, all those things, well, they will affect, but it won't have the same big effect as it would if we not united. You know what I'm saying? If we all looking at each other sideways, da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? To me, we need to move together, move as one, trust your brother until they show you a reason not to trust them. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes that might cost us our lives or, you know, cost us battles lost in this war. But as long as we keep moving and keep fighting, I know that we will win. You know what I'm saying? And unity is the main key thing as far as to unite as a people, race, nationality, whatever it is you want to fall under, you know what I'm saying? But we definitely need to be united and be building for us, by us, you know what I mean? Things that are going to help us in the future and only us, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody else has something of that nature, has something that's benefiting them, you know what I'm saying? The Arabs have control over the liquor stores, dollar stores, all those type of things. You have the chinks, or, you know, excuse me, I'm sorry, you have the Asians who have, control over the hair industry, you know. Then you got, of course, you got white supremacy, got their hand in everything. But, you know, we as a people need to recognize that we have to build for us. No one else outside of us is going to build for us. Nobody's going to come in from the government and build up storefronts for black people, or, you know, build up schools and build up housing for us to live in a community collectively in peace, because that's not what they want to see. They don't want to see us united, because they know once we unite, it's over for the rest of the world. They're going to have to fall in line with what we want to do, because that's the power that we got. We are the rulers of the universe and the rulers of the people on earth. You know what I mean? We have to recognize that power and recognize that they following us anyway. They using our tactics, using our strategies, using everything that we taught them to have power, but we not recognizing the power that we gave them. You know what I'm saying? We gave them their power, so therefore we can take it back. You know what I'm saying? Just like in this system, they give us everything we need, so it's not hard for them to take it back. They give us water, they give us food, they give us shelter, so it's easy for them to take those things back. Once we recognize that we give them the power, it'll be simple as a snap of a finger to take it back, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? So, do we got any callers, bro? You say what, bro?
I ain't say nothing. I was just listening to the bill, see?
Yeah, no, we got any callers?
Nah, we ain't got no callers, see?
Okay. But, you know,
yeah,
that's, you know, that. Go ahead.
That's definitely was a fruitful, you know, conversation. And it's kind of like one of the only conversations that we have, and, you know, outside of health and, you know, autonomy, you know what I mean? I would say that those is like the top two. And then we would have this conversation around unity. You see what I'm saying? Principle unity. So if we're not dealing with a state of health and being, you know, moving towards the spaces of self-sufficiency, you know, then we're not really having the conversation. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we still have the same people with those same maladies. You know, so when I speak of health, I'm not just talking about diet. I'm talking about overall mental, mm-hmm. physical, psychological health. You see what I'm saying? And then
mm-hmm.
when we start looking at, you know, autonomy, you know, we use a term like nation building. You know, you got to be autonomous to make that happen. So, you know, I know we got this revolution or exodus conversation that's being had. You see what I'm saying? But it don't have to be an or. You know, it's if one moves the other. You see what I'm saying? And historically, that's how we move. You know, we got examples of exodus that was led by revolution. So we got revolution examples that, you know, that in Exodus examples in our history that went on to be remarkable. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, we say Marcus Garvey never made it to Liberia, but his people did. You see what I'm saying? And they hold a high office in government in Liberia to this day. You know, there were some African Hebrew Israelites who made it to Dimona by way of Marcus Garvey's people. So we got to connect the dots. You know, we got to connect the dots and see, you know, what's going on. And, you know, these ways in, you know, we talking about the African Union and how to get in that way. You know, it's a way through South Africa. There's a way through East Africa. It's a way through West Africa. And there's a way through, you know, what would be termed as the Middle East. You see what I'm saying? We all have to know, you know, those ways in. And also, if we're talking about, you know, people, taking roots here, you know, you got to have a link established with the natives that are here. You see what I'm saying? So there's both parts of the conversation that needs to be had in regards to how that works. You see what I'm saying? You got to fight with those indigenous people to this landmass that are here, you know, along with the people whom that applies to here. So when we start to look at autonomy, you know, we got to see, again, for whatever we're doing, we got to have allies. You see what I'm saying? So how we talk to the brown people and the red people here, you know what I mean? Because we're talking about we indigenous to the landmass, you know. They got records. They got proof. You know, we need proof as well. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, mm-hmm. figure out how that works. And so we're talking about the spaces of autonomy. So, you know, having a nation, and the nation has interests, and the nation has allies, and the nation has military. You know, so all of these things being established, and then we can, you know, the people who want to repatriate, we can make that happen to wherever that is on the planet. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we're just talking about this situation that we're in right now. When we look at it, you know, with this identity crisis, we have to figure out what this applies to. You see what I'm saying? And who it applies to and how these things operate. So it's definitely on the highest priority of the list of the conversation of what we're doing. You know what I mean? You know, you're dealing with hydroponics and all of these things. You see what I'm saying? So all of these things are going to be very critical moving forward in regards to true action steps. You see what I'm saying? True action steps in regards to, you know, what's happening, you know what I mean? But I think that anybody who's involved in any of these organizations or who got anything to do with our liberation need to come together, and they need to have that initiation process take place. And then you can go back to your organizations and do your job. You see what I'm saying? It's just like the military. Like, you don't just walk into the military. You have to be initiated into their ways, customs, and traditions and all of that. They got to make sure they got a hold of you before you go in. Otherwise, you can't get in. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if we have a military and we're not structured it like that for anything that we do, you see what I'm saying? Like, the brothers and sisters can go back to their regular jobs and things, but they got a mindset that they're prepared, you know, for the defense of their family, for the defense of our people. You see what I'm saying? If they're not trained, you know, there's a difference between warrior and soldier. A warrior is natural. It's naturally who you are. You naturally got a warrior spirit. But then you marry that or you couple that with the soldier training. See what I'm saying? They train soldiers to do things. You see what I'm saying? So after that warrior spirit marries up with that soldier training, you can put anything in front of them and they're ready for it. See what I'm saying? So that's a process that has to go. See what I'm saying? So I could be talking
about that. Yeah, definitely, bro. Man, I definitely, man, for sure, bro. You already know, man. And I definitely agree, you know, definitely agree with you on that. And just bringing up the revolution or exodus, to me, revolution is the only option. Because even if you do an exodus, wherever you go, you're going to have to face a revolution. You know what I'm saying? Because white supremacy or, you know, I hate that word, really. But, you know, the system has its hand everywhere. You know what I'm saying? They got embassies damn near in every country in the world. You know, they got soldiers in every damn near, you know, everywhere in the world. So even if you go there and then you start to get some peace and prosperity, they're going to come and be like, oh, no, fuck that. We can't just have these motherfuckers over there having peace, prosperity. We got to go, you know, disrupt this. And therefore, in the end, it's going to be a revolution regardless of whatever you do. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely am not against Exodus. You know what I'm saying? Me personally, I feel like my fight and you know, everything is right here because of just the blood, sweat, and the tears that we've put in as people, you know, the ancestors, the Huey P's, the George Jacksons, the Asadas, you know what I'm saying, that have risked and lost their lives right here on this very soil to kind of concede and just give up this land to, you know, to the cracker or to the, you know, to the system would be, you know, kind of like a taking the L, in my opinion, in a sense, you know what I'm saying, because it's like we're running. And no matter where you go, you're not going to be able to run from this problem. Colonialism is a worldwide problem. Neocolonialism, capitalism, systematic racism, you know, indoctrination of our people, no knowledge itself. This is a worldwide problem because if not, you know what I mean, most people will recognize that we are the original, as me and you know. We the original inhabitants of all this land. You know, we migrated out of the motherland, Pangea, whatever name, Africa, whatever name you use. We migrated out of this land into all land masses of the world. You know what I'm saying? Anywhere you go, you're going to find the remains and the skeletons of people that look like us or that are of we are the descent of. So by knowing that and knowing that people in Africa or, you know, people in Australia or people in Vietnam or people in Venezuela or Brazil, they are all brainwashed in the same way that we are brainwashed here. You know what I'm saying? Taught that you are nothing but slaves. You came to this land on a boat as a slave. You know what I'm saying? The only history you have is of a slave. Anything prior to that was savagery, and you need to thank the system or colonialism for coming in and civilizing you. You know what I'm saying? This is global. This is not just here in America. It's in the UK. It's in Africa. It's in the Middle East. It's everywhere that you have people of color. You go to Palestine. You go to Israel. You have people that look like me and you, the same color as me and you, a dark shade like me and you, that are being oppressed and being killed, murdered, given the least of the least, whatever it may be. So once we recognize that it's a global problem and not just a United States problem or Africa and America problem, it's a global problem. You know what I'm saying? The most people of African descent in the world are in Brazil besides actually being in Africa. You know what I'm saying? So if we start to just use a little common sense and just see that, damn, man, our people are all over this planet, do you really think that a devil and a person that's a people that are inferior genetically, mentally, spiritually, were able to get all these people from one place and spread them all over the world like this? I don't think so. I definitely don't think so. You know what I'm saying? So that right there just lets me know, damn, we probably, you know, them are cousins or, you know, them are people. You know what I mean? Just like we have people all over this country. You know what I'm saying? We have family all over we might not even know about until we actually meet them. You know, and our spirit. We can see them, and our spirit will tell us, like, damn, you know, blah, 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 this, that, and the third. Everything, you know, look like people, like me, everywhere. People going through the same thing everywhere. And it starts a connection. Just like any city I go to, man, I'm in what city I'm at, all over this country, all over the world, wherever I go, I have to go to the ghetto. You know what I'm saying? I have to go to where the people are being living in the way that I live when I grew up to a degree. You know, I know it might be more extreme, less extreme in different places, but at the same time, I come from the so-called slums or the inner city ghettos of America or of colonialism. So when I go to different places, by me identifying with that, I have to go identify or touch bases with the people who are like-minded like me without any fear of anything happening, because we know these things go on in these places, but if we constantly show fear and constantly ignore the fact that these people need love and these people, that our people need love and our people need help in so many different ways, we're going to become stagnated and then afraid of our own shadow. You know what I'm saying? People, oh, man, I don't want to go over there. And I ain't coming to that neighborhood. This, that, because they have a fear. Not saying that, you know, that fear doesn't have a real source or, you know, have some meaning behind it, because I do understand it. I'm not telling people not to be cautious or not to move militantly in a certain way, but to just be fearful of your people just because they look or, you know, a certain, or they live in a certain place is not of original thought. We need to get back to original thought of embracing our brothers and sisters until they show us otherwise, and being in tune enough with your spirit and being in tune enough with the universe to recognize those signs, because they always send the universe, you know, your intuition is always going to send you a sign about somebody that lets you know, like, yeah, maybe I should fall back, or maybe they, you know, I should embrace this person. And you have to be in tune and pay attention, because it's always there. You know what I'm saying? Just like before, you know, I can name a million times that I didn't listen to my intuition or the signs that the universe was sending me to not deal with a certain person or deal with a certain situation, and the situation or that person turned out to be sour. You know what I'm saying? It's always there. We just have to tap into ourselves and to the collective and pay attention, because we're all connected. So that means it's not a situation that knowledge can go through that I can't tap into, or the same vice versa. That it's not a situation that I can't go through that knowledge is not able to tap in, if he's in tune with the universe and in tune with the spirituality and the mental capacity that we all naturally possess as a people. You know what I'm saying? Just like when you walk in a room, you know what I'm saying, and you see some crazy stuff, and you got that one person who might be looking at you, or you can look at them, and you can tell that they thinking the same thing you thinking. They understand, they recognize, and they notice everything that you thinking. That's a spiritual connection. That's not physical. That's not anything but spiritual and a mental connection to, you know, your fellow original or your fellow man. And it helps, and that helps in uniting people, because when you can help them identify things with that, maybe they know that are there and are real, but they don't know how to identify them, then you catch their ear, and now you're able to present them with different things that are, you know, that are totally different than anything that they've ever thought of in their life. You know what I mean? So I definitely agree with you on the concern about Exodus and about the people of, you know, who are already here, who say that they have proof. Well, we also know how that proof was set about, and how they changed laws, and how you could have paid to call yourself Indian back in the day, and all this stuff. All these different factors that we know of. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know damn near all the problems, all the ways that they disconnected us from who we truly are. You know what I'm saying? No matter what that may be, you know, whether you want to be a Seminole, African, Igbo, you know, whatever tribe you want to claim, chances are that, you know, you are originally connected to that tribe anyway. You know what I'm saying? So us coming together as a people, like you say, is one of the only conversations that we should be having. You know what I'm saying? Because everything else requires that. If we want to build a school, you got to get with people that think like you, that want to build the same. Cause you can't do nothing by yourself. People think that you can do things by yourself. You don't do anything by yourself. I'm starting a farm here in Detroit in my neighborhood. I'm not doing it by myself. People are donating. People are helping, you know, volunteering. I'm getting seeds. I'm getting, you know, this and that. I'm getting stuff out the trash that people throw. You know what I'm saying? It's a collective. And I'm not going to be able to do it by myself. You know, and I know that, and I recognize that. So I form a team, and I get like-minded people, and we unite, and we build towards a common goal. That's what we need to do as a people. Get with people who you know recognize and see the same kind of vision that you see, whether it may even be different than that, but just get together and move towards a common goal. And once you achieve that goal, find another common goal and keep moving. And keep moving until we attain our freedom. Because at the end of the day, I want to be able to do as I please as a man, as long as I'm not bringing any hurt or, you know, stopping anyone else's progress or peace within their life, I should be able to do as I please. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
and I believe that for everyone, you know what I'm saying? Any person on this earth has that right just for simply being born. As long as you're not hurting or harming me or stopping the progress of me and my people and my tribe, I have no quarrels with you. Now, if you got some land we need and you ain't trying to give it up, of course there's going to be conflict. Conflict is natural. The waves and the shore are in a constant conflict. The wind and the tree and the roots and this and, you know, conflict is a part of nature. You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
right.
I'm not saying it's just going to be, you know, just, oh, we just walking around, you know, doing all this. But for the most part, you know, we are peaceful and we'll be able to live amongst each other without any quarrels, as long as you understand, as long I have to, you have to unite with people who have the same mindset as you. That's what tribes are for. That's what nature has. That's why you have big cats, but you got jaguars, you got lions, you got tigers, you got cheetahs. They are the same family, but they in their own tribe for a reason, because they are like minded. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And that's, to me,
let
that's the key.
Let me add my brother to the conversation.
Go ahead.
Real quick, man.
Okay.
Brother Malik is in the building, man.
Black Power.
Black Power, what's
Black
going
power.
On?
Black Power.
No, comrades, how y'all doing?
Good,
take
man. We're building on this unity. Building on this unity, man. You know what I mean? You know, we talk all the time about, you know, certain kind of ways. You know what I mean? And you kind of like an ambassador. You know what I'm saying? So
Here we go.
So, man, I mean, you know, we'd appreciate your add-on in this conversation, Jay. You know what I'm saying?
I don't want to say too much, you know what I mean? The brother, he's the guest. He's on the platform tonight. But I tuned in maybe like less than 10 minutes ago, because I was out. I'm in your old neck of the woods, man.
Where you at?
I just came off 21st and 20th.
Yeah, I'll be there next month, man.
Wait till you see what it looks like, man. It's desolate looking. Really got, like, extra desolate. I totally, you know, agree with Black Power. I'm not saying the brother said this, and I'm not saying you said this. This is just how I see things. I think there has to be a limitation to when we talk about unity. And if people are showing signs of capitalism, white supremacy, yet they're claiming that they're for Black Power, that's an oxymoron. And I really believe there's a lot of that. So I don't believe in being a romanticist, that like we're all going to be, it's impossible we're all going to be unified. It's impossible. Because there's people that claim that they're for Black people, but in actuality they don't like Black Power, which I don't understand, you know. And I'm trying to be careful here with my words, because I'm not trying to call out people and call out groups and stuff like that. But I tell you one thing that's very alarming that seems to be a trend right now is people that are denying the African Holocaust, coming up with every excuse in the book that it didn't happen, or it was exaggerated, or it wasn't that many people that was involved in it, why then would it be called the Royal African Company, you know, the ship or whatever, and going with this notion that I, for lack of better words, that they are the real Native Americans. I find that to be highly absurd. It's absurd and it's offensive. it's offensive towards the African, and it's offensive towards indigenous people. I don't understand where this is coming from, and I'm really noticing that this seems to be a trend. I really believe that, of course, to be boots on the ground and everything like that, that's, I'm with that 1,000,000,000%. But I have noticed, not saying all, but from some that kind of like, they kind of stay away from the platforms, you know, the blog shows and stuff like that. And I think it's important that they do get involved, not say to get involved to debate people, but to be involved to disseminate the information and speak to the people. Because I really, aside from the whole slavery never happened thing, which is just like crazy. Like I don't understand. Well, part of the logic is when they talk about this is that, oh, well, you're getting your information from white people. That doesn't mean that white people don't produce accurate information at times. The devil tells truth at times. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that, oh yeah, 100% rely on the white man. I'm not saying that, but knowledge is knowledge and information is information. If it can be confirmed, then it shouldn't really matter. It's just for the sake of information was disseminated. So that tends to be one of their arguments. But then again, what they'll do is, in the midst of that, then they'll start mentioning treaties and stuff. Well, okay, well, who wrote the treaties? White people. And white people have continuously broke their treaties. So it doesn't really matter. I don't get the logic. But I don't really think that a lot of people who subscribe to the conscious community, and I'm not one of them, I may do things with people, but, you know, part of that, but I don't subscribe to it. But I don't think a lot of people understand what capitalism is at all. I really truthfully don't. I really don't think people understand when capitalism is mentioned and when white supremacy, which is synonymous with each other, but I don't believe they understand what that means at all. And I mean, it capitalism encompasses so much. It's not just race, you know, it's classism, economic classism, sex, and then the devices of the components of capitalism. So like religion and media and the prison system and the healthcare system and the educational system and things like that. Like it's very broad. And as I was listening to the brother, I think that's another thing that people mess up on is they limit themselves on a local level or just a national level and not realizing that this is an international crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that it all connects. And so by seeing how it all connects, then one who says that the African Holocaust never happened, they would have to deny it. Because I find it offensive, you know, and I'm fair skinned, I'm light skinned, whatever, but my family's from Cuba. If it wasn't for Africans being enslaved and brought to Cuba, I would not exist. So how do you explain slave castles? How do you explain the traditions of Ifa and Santeria and Voodoo? These are all African traditions. So how did they get there? How do you explain, like you mentioned, Brazil? That was the number one drop-off of Africans. Then how do you explain the number two drop-off of Africans, which was in Mexico? How do you explain the slave fortresses that still exist? How do you explain a place like Puerto Rico where you can go into particular towns and you can see influence of other Caribbean islands that may be close to Puerto Rico due to the location of that town and the influences that have come into Puerto Rico And yet those influences are various African cultures. There's too much evidence, you know. I've heard people say, oh, there's not a lot of slave plantations. That's really weak. I mean, a lot of slave plantations were burnt down. And there are slave plantations. There's places in Florida that they call shotgun houses, where the house is designed a particular way, so when Klansmen would roll up on the house and black people would come to the front door with their shotgun, they could shoot, turn around, and run straight down the hallway out the back door. So why was that created? I mean, it's just, so there's a whole bunch of things that just prove it to have existed. I mean, why would there be the formations that there are today that have come from the Black Panther Party? Why would there be a need for a Nation of Islam and the 5% Nation? Why would there be a need for the Moorish Science Temple? Why would there be a need for the UNIA? Why would there be a need for all these different groups that have come about since this century? Why would John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben and Sheikh Anthony Diop, like, why would we have people, or Dr. Amos Wilson, why would we have these people? Why are they talking about what they're talking about if slavery never occurred? Because that's the basis of it, that we've lost our identity. And I think it's offensive, and I think that there's more that groups like the New Black Panther Party and formations that have come from that, I think there's a lot more that could be done. And not saying they're not doing anything, they're doing a great job, but I think there's more that could be done as far as on a scholastic level or intellectual level, as far as disseminating information to people, aside from, you know, you have to show up for a conference call, you have to show up for a meeting, which all those are great. But I think, you know, not everybody may know about that. And some people may be standoffish versus if they were in an arena where there was platforms that they could come forth and bring the information, because the information that the Panther Party brings, new and old, or original and new Panther Party, on the whole science of political science, is you're not getting anything better than that. It's wonderful, the information that's disseminated that these groups talk, because the emphasis is nationalism. So if you're talking about nationalism, then that means that you're talking about politics. And so a lot of people, what they want to do is they want to mention some things that's dealing with politics, but they don't have a thorough understanding to it. So what they do is they kind of like cling on to their pseudo ideologies or their religious ideologies, and they use that as a basis for what they believe in. And a lot of times, nine times out of ten, it's just like it's rhetoric. It could be disproven because a lot of it's just not tangible. Versus when you're dealing with something like nationalism and you're dealing with black power, this is all tangible. All of it. It's at your fingertips. You're waking up into it. Versus you're not waking up into something dealing with crystals and astral projection and copper and a heaven and a hell and angels and some people that lived 1,000 years ago that received the book and people splitting seas and raising the dead. And it's a diversion tactic from what is reality.
We add my other brother to this conversation, my brother Equal Negro Pat Nation.
Black love, black power, black African power, these great brothers, the brother Knowledge Born, the brother speaking, your beautiful platform, brother Knowledge, your hard working efforts, brother. Man, salute to you. I see why you won the 2016 RBG Award, the number one media. Hey, man, you really are doing a good job, man. You really are doing a good job making sure you plug up every crack, every crevice, you know, making sure that it is bombarded. And this reminds me of what brother Unc West, y'all know him from the Amon-Ra squad, but brother Unc, he talks about being an African maniac. Or you think about these fans sometimes, you know, you think about fans rooting for the Patriots. You think about the two different extremes. You got the fans that are watched from home. Then you got the fans that are go to every city that team goes to. They're paying all of their money. They might even have to put up the rent money because they're loving their team more than they're loving their own selves. And this is what we have to do for our African liberation. Black, you know, right now I see a lot of black people, us as brothers and sisters, we stuck on what we want to call ourselves. Well, some people saying don't call yourself African. Others are saying call yourself. But one thing, even and when you made mention, brother, and with us right now, we are just critiquing what nation looks like. You understand? We are attempting to build a nation. But once I think there are some things that we have to, even in Sun Tzu's Art of War, one of his main principles is knowing yourself and knowing your enemy. And sometimes it baffles me the way that we think that we're going to build a nation with inside a nation. I'm not knocking anybody that feels like this is possible, but even when we look at how the military, if we're going to want to combat or, you know, take this whatever back from this cracker, you have to look at arms. You have to look at arms. You have to look at the military, how even the military has brothers and sisters that look like us fighting for them and their interests. And we would think, well, hey, can we get a force that can combat, or, you know, why a lot of people are considering building a nation within a nation. All the guns that we would be using, you know, guess where they're coming from? Guess who are manufacturing those guns and ammunition? Crackers. The crackers. That's a fact. You know, even when you're looking at airstrikes, they got some badass ammunition, some bad weapons that they can deploy from the air. I know not one black man with a aircraft, you know, to this magnitude. I know a brother that has his own private jet, but to say what we have is souped up, and you know, and I think when we're looking at what us as a black people are collectively spending our money on, like you said, brother, we are collectively ready to spend our money with the church. We have given the church a lot of our money. We have given Santa Claus a lot of our money. We getting ready to give the Easter Bunny a lot of our money. We ready to give Uncle Sam and the 4th of July a lot of our money. And these are our resources. When we talk about how to control, when you look at black power is a thing that comes from the inside out. It doesn't, you know, even when the brother's speaking about tangible things, this is one thing that our African ancestors always knew. They had to control their thoughts, words, and deeds before they talk about controlling their money. Before we talk about controlling our resources, we have to control how we talk to one another, what we are thinking about. This is the inward control that a lot of times you don't see in the tangible world, but it is as much it's as important, just as important as the tangible world, because our African ancestors always knew that there was an underlying process inside the making or creating of life, or even if we're talking about a liberation, or so there is that progressive stage, like even a child goes through for the 9 months. They are quote unquote unseen. They haven't been born yet, but it takes that 9 months. Basically incubation of meditation in order to get them to a tangible place. And this is the creative stages within all life. You know, and like I said, we have here in 2017, we brought a lot of groups here in America. We say, well, okay, we're fighting. We've been fighting for a long time. But to say that we are still at a place where us as black people still have to beg for our right to live, we still have to beg for jobs, we still have to, you know, wait on our vote to help fix us, obviously that's showing, you know, and not to diminish anything that we're doing, but this is why it is important to go back and never forget our ancestors.